Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalms 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Good morning. Good morning. It is a pleasure to be here with you once again. This is the first time I've spoken in this church. It is a great privilege. For those of you who don't know me, I grew up a little ways north of here in a little town called Loehampton, New York. About a mile and a half from the William Miller Chapel. I mowed the lawn there when I was a kid. It was a great privilege. I went to the Middle Granville Church growing up. That church has, a number of years ago, combined with the Glens Falls Church to form the Kingsbury Church. And it was about 32 years ago that I had my first sermon. Cleo and Martha, I imagine, remember it. I promise you that this one will be longer. That one was all of 4 minutes. I found it interesting that your Bible study group has been just recently studied Psalm 23, because that's what this sermon is on. I hope that it's not too boring for you. Anyway, let's turn to Psalm 23, and you're going to want to keep your finger there. But before we continue, I'd like to have another word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, wow, Lord, you've done so much for us. You've done so much for me. Lord, please be with us now as we study from your word. Please bless us and help us to learn what you want us to learn from this. Lord, please anoint my lips. Please take away my sin and help me to only speak the words you would have me to speak now. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. What is a shepherd? A shepherd is someone that takes care of sheep, isn't it? So why is David saying, the Lord is my shepherd? David was a man, not a sheep. Well, let's turn to John now. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and verses 14 through 18. Here Jesus talks about this too. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So Jesus himself says that he is a shepherd. And clearly he is not talking about sheep, he's talking about people. And you know what? I find that very appropriate. Because we are very much like sheep. Sheep are very stubborn, and so are we. And quite frankly, sheep are very stupid, and so are we. I know for myself, I do a lot of stupid things. But you know what? Praise the Lord, he still accepts me, and he will accept you as well. The next phrase in this verse, I shall not want, I always found interesting as a kid, because when you put the two together, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I always thought, what? Why? That sounds strange. Why don't I want God? that was my childlike reasoning. Now I realize that what he's saying here is, when we have God, we have nothing that we need. That he will provide all of our needs and our wants. He doesn't just provide our needs, he provides our wants as well, as long as those wants are within his will. We just have to work on making our will his will. But anyway, going on, start with verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, when you think about this, isn't this a beautiful imagery? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. It makes me think of summertime when everything is green and warm. Of course, I like winter. Actually, winter's my favorite season, but that's beside the point. but I still enjoy all four seasons. And we can all imagine laying down in a nice green field or a nice green lawn and just resting. But you know, one thing about sheep, and this is a sheep-related psalm for sure. I forgot. I need to give credit where credit is due. A lot of the thoughts from this sermon came from the book A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. He was written a long time ago, but still has some very valid points and some very great insights because he himself was a shepherd. But anyway, Philip Keller says that sheep will not lay down unless four conditions are met. Four conditions. They have to be free from fear, from friction with the other sheep. They have to be free from pests, and they have to be free from hunger. And you know, Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God meets all these needs. He takes care of the fear. He takes care of the friction between us as long as we will follow him. He takes care of the pests, and he takes care of our hunger. He just provides so abundantly for us. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 34 and verses 15 and 16. Ezekiel is right before the book of Daniel. Ezekiel 34, verses 15 and 16 says, "I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down, says the Lord. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment." Do you ever feel oppressed? Do you ever feel like people are putting you down? Like those that have it better than you are just keeping you held down? Well, here God says that he will take care of that. He will take care of that. Let's turn also to Psalm 111, verses 2 through 5. Psalm 111, verses 2 through 5. Here God says, God inspiring David says, "The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant." And Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4. Let's turn there. Here God says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Wonderful verses, aren't these? And I can just, it just goes so well together. God wants us to be at peace. He wants us to be free from fear. He wants to satisfy our hunger. Not just our physical hunger, but our spiritual hunger as well. And he wants us to get along with each other. You know, one thing that Philip Keller says in his book is that the sheep naturally will be in contention with each other and be trying to push each other away and things like that, just naturally when they're left alone. But when the shepherd is there, they all look to the shepherd. Isn't that beautiful imagery? When Jesus is with us, when Jesus is our leader, we look to him, and all our strife and differences go away, don't they? Going on in the psalm with verse 4, the first part there, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You know, when shepherds move their sheep from one pasture to another, they have to take them, they start out in the low pastures in the springtime. And then as the temperatures get warmer and warmer and warmer, they keep moving them up higher and higher and higher because the grass tends to be better up where it's cooler. So they keep doing that. But sometimes to get them there, they have to take them through deep, narrow valleys. And to make sure that they're safe, the shepherd will go there first, and he will lead the sheep through there when he does take them to make sure that they are safe. And he is always on guard, just like God is always on guard for us. The shepherd is always on guard against predators, and there are always predators around. And we have predators around in our lives, but God is on guard against them. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death, we've all been through it, haven't we? We've all had to deal with death in our families, with friends and loved ones. And it's not easy, is it? But you know what? Jesus has been there before us. In fact, he went through the ultimate death, the second death on the cross for us. We have nothing to fear, because he has been there before us, and he will guide us safely through the valley of the shadow of death. The second part of verse 4 there says, "For you are with me, your rod and your staff," or no, "I will fear no evil," I'm sorry. "I will fear no evil." This is a huge promise, isn't it? We don't have to worry about all these people that are attacking us and coming at us, because we have no reason to fear, because God says we have that he will take care of us. And he's done this in some amazing ways. I read a story a long time ago. I don't know what book it's in even anymore. But it was a story about a missionary. Actually, it was a group of missionaries that went, and they were having an evangelistic series in this remote jungle village. Well, of course, there were people opposing them. There always are. And these people were very, very upset, and they did not want these meetings to go on. So they went and they found this one man. This man wasn't really against the meetings, but he wasn't for them. He wasn't attending them, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't going to cause any trouble. Well, until these men came along. And this man had a reputation for being able to throw stones very, very hard and very, very accurately. He was the most accurate and hard thrower in the village. And they said, "We will pay you to throw stones at this preacher, and if necessary, we will pay you to kill him with these stones." And he said, "I'm not so sure about this." And they said, "Well, here's how much we'll pay you." And he said, "Oh, okay, well, I'll do it then. I'll be glad to do it for that amount of money." The next night they showed up. The meeting had already started. There were lights. They had lights, probably lanterns, that they were using. And these men assembled outside the village, and they'd gotten him some really good throwing stones, nice, round, just the right size, and they gave them to him. And the preacher got up to preach, and the man wound up, and he threw that stone, first stone, as hard as he could. And he missed. He was like, "What? I'm sure I... Wait a minute, something's wrong here." But he, "Well, I'll try again." Picked up another stone and threw it as hard as he could and kept throwing and throwing and throwing these stones as hard as he possibly could. And couldn't make a single hit. And the men just slipped away. Well, the preacher was totally unaware of this. He just kept right on preaching. Never saw the stones. He also never saw the angel that all the others in the congregation saw, that was standing there with a big smile on his face going, "Boom, boom, boom, boom," deflecting every single one of those stones. Another story that goes along with this. Story of Mary Futcher. She was a Bible worker in New York City back in 1942. And one night, she went to a Bible study, and they had a really, really good study. In fact, the study went very, very late, and she ended up leaving around 11:30. Well, she had two routes that she could take. She could take one subway that would take her right very close to her house, but it was kind of slow. Or she could take another one it was a direct route, but she'd end up with a several block walk through Harlem to get to her home. Well, she decided she would take the quicker route because she wanted to get to bed. When she got off the subway, she started walking hurriedly home, and she wasn't worried. She was just walking along, and she was thinking joyously about the decisions that had been made that night during their Bible study. When all of a sudden, a big hand reached out from an alleyway and dragged her into the alleyway. She stiffened with fear and numbness. All she could do was cling to her Bible and her purse and inwardly pray, "Oh God, help me." And just as she prayed those words, the man let go, actually dropped her. She fell to the ground, and he screamed and ran right out of the alley, right into a policeman. He proceeded to tell the policeman that he'd just been struck by lightning. And the policeman held on to him, wouldn't let him go. And Mary came out, and they had a conversation. The man said, "I'll never do that again. Please, just let me go. I'll never, ever do that again." She explained to him that she was a Bible worker on her way home from a Bible study, that she was a Christian. The policeman wanted to press charges, but because he was so repentant, she decided to let him go. Well, then, the story gets even more interesting. The policeman said he would help. He asked her where she was going. Actually, no, he didn't ask her where she was going. He just proceeded to take her home, to walk home with her. She never told him where she lived. And as they walked home, he talked to her, and he told her, "You know, you really need to be careful. This is a really rough neighborhood, and you shouldn't be here at this time of night," and everything. They got home. He led her right to her door, that she'd never told him where she lived. And she went and opened the door, turned to thank him, and he was gone. Vanished. She went into her apartment, fell on her knees to thank Jesus for sending her protection, and went to bed. The next morning she was thinking about it. It was like, "Wow, this... I got to double check, make sure that I wasn't dreaming." She called the local police station. They had no record of any officer in that area that night. I will fear no evil. Let's turn to Psalm 56, verse 3. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." Mary Futcher trusted in God. We need to learn how to trust in God more, don't we? Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Never. He doesn't say, "Oh, I'll be with you most of the time." Or, "Oh, I'll be with you when you need me." We always need him, don't we? So he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We serve a tremendous God. Psalm 23, the third part of verse 4 says, "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." What is a staff? Do you know what a staff is? A shepherd's staff is a long, slender stick. We see it in pictures of shepherds and things like that. It's a long, slender stick, usually has a hook on the end of it. It's quite tall, and it's made to be that way. They like it that way. The staff is used to bring new lambs to their mothers when they get separated. The reason for this is because if the shepherd touches a new lamb, the mother may reject it because of his smell being on it. So they pick it up very gently with their staff and carry it to the mother and set it down. Just like God is so gentle with us when we slip away. It's also used for guiding the sheep, making sure that, you know, "Hey, don't go there. You shouldn't go there. You need to stay here with me." You know. It's also used for pulling the sheep out when they get into a bind, like fall into a crevice or get into a bunch of briars. And isn't that so much like us? We get ourselves into briars. We get ourselves into crevices that we can't possibly get out of. And God comes along and helps us out. Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15, and verses 4 through 7. Here, Jesus says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls them together, his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Amen. Jesus goes and searches for us when we're lost. And he takes his staff and he pulls us out of the briars or the crevices or both that we've gotten ourselves into. The other thing here is mentioned is the rod. A rod is an interesting thing. How many of you here know what a shepherd's rod is? I didn't until I wrote this sermon. A rod is a club. It's a stick. It's made from a stick. Usually it's basically what they do is the shepherd, usually when they're very young, they will go and they will cut down a sapling. And they don't cut it off above the roots. They cut it off below the roots. And they will take this sapling, and where the tree comes down to where the roots branch out, they will take and they will carve and mold that part into a knob at the end of this stick that becomes a club. And they'll take the other end of it, and they will carve it and mold and whittle away on it until it fits their hand perfectly so that it's just natural for them to hold on to it. Some interesting, and it's made out of very hard wood, and they carry this with them all the time. The rod is used for a number of things. It's used for protection for themselves and for the sheep, because what they do is they take and they practice with this rod. They practice throwing it and throwing it and throwing it until they get super accurate with it, so that when a predator comes along, they can just throw this rod and they can hit the predator and either scare them off or even kill them. It's also used for discipline. If a sheep starts to wander away from the flock, starts to get off where it shouldn't be, get over toward a crevice, get over toward a poisonous plant or something like that, the shepherd will throw the rod at the sheep to make the sheep stop and go back to the herd, back to the flock, rather. It's also used as a tool of inspection. It's used to help the shepherd, because the sheep's wool is so thick, the shepherd uses it to help pull the wool apart so that he can find injuries, scars, and things like that in the sheep's skin. Sorry. And you know, these are very apt illustrations of how God treats us. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. He protects us." Revelation 3, verse 19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." God chastens us. He disciplines us. And don't we need it? We sure do. And Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We really need God to inspect us, just like the shepherd inspects the sheep. And the shepherd does this, especially like at night when he's bringing them back into the fold. He'll stop every sheep and go through it very carefully. A very intimate picture of the shepherd going through with his rod and his hands and very carefully inspecting the sheep to see if there's any injuries that he doesn't know about. And then he'll put a salve on them. And God wants that kind of intimate relationship with us too. Going on into verse 5, Psalm 23, verse 5, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." The first part there, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." This brings to, in my mind, this reminds me of Elijah when he was being fed by the brook Cherith. Here he was, Ahab was searching for him, trying to find him. And so God has him go and hide. But God doesn't just have him go and hide. God also feeds him, sends him bread by the ravens. And you know, God will do this for us too when we need him to. He will send us food when we need it. And he will give us protection from our enemies. And he will take care of us. I heard about a man that was thrown in jail for his faith one time. and they were trying to starve him to death. Problem was that the jailer's own dog, or no, it was the jailer's own cat kept bringing food to the window of his jail cell. And it also says, you prepare a table before me. Now, shepherds, when they, in areas where sheep are commonly raised, they will take their sheep, these higher lands that they take their sheep to in the summertime, they call them mesas. Interesting thing is that mesa is the Spanish word for table. You know, we think of a table as, you know, the table that we eat at and everything, that we'll eat potluck at later. But for a shepherd, it has much more meaning. Because before a shepherd takes his sheep to these mesas or tablelands, he will go there ahead of them. And he will pull up all the poisonous weeds. And he will make sure that the water supply is good. He will make sure that there's where there's rushing streams, he'll dam them up so that there's a place of calmness in the water. Because the sheep won't drink from a rushing stream. They'll only drink from a place where the water is calm. So the shepherd will take care of that. He'll also do his best to get rid of any predators that are in that area ahead of time. He's preparing the tableland before them. And you know what? God is preparing a tableland for us in heaven. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that the Father has prepared for those that love him." God is preparing a place for us, a tableland for us. And he can't wait to bring us there. The second part of verse 5. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." You know, this is very interesting because David wrote this psalm. David had been anointed by God to be king. It's believed that he actually wrote this before he actually became king. But God anointed his head. God anointed Saul's head with oil when he chose them to be kings. God also, when the priests were appointed to their office, this priest that served in the tabernacle, they were also anointed with oil. This oil represented the Holy Spirit. And it represented the Holy Spirit coming into these people's lives and guiding them. But you know, that makes things really interesting for us. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Here it says, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus is our example. We're supposed to do as he did. Let's turn also to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'll be reading from verse 21. Here Paul says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God." We are anointed by God to do his work. And what is that work? To preach liberty to the captives. What was it back there in Luke? Luke 4. To heal the brokenhearted, to preach the gospel to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind. And this isn't just physical, this is spiritual healing. and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of our Lord, to preach that Jesus is coming. And 1 Peter 2, verse 9 shed some more light on this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Here Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are a royal priesthood. So what this says to me is that God, is that like Jesus, we are anointed to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to those who are captives of sin. This is an amazing work, and we are incredibly blessed to be given it by God. Going back to Psalm 23, with verse 6 now, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's turn to Psalm 86, verse 5 now. Here it says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." So when we refer to goodness and mercy is what God is. That's one of the things that God is. Let's turn to James 1, verse 17. James 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Anything good comes from God. Lamentations 3, verse 23, or 22 and 23, I'm sorry. Lamentations, right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 says, "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." You know, there's one thing about this verse, Psalm 23, verse 6, though, that I didn't know until a few years ago. And that is about the word, specifically about the word follow. If you go back to the original Hebrew, this word, and I've looked this up in Strong's Concordance to confirm it, the word that is here translated follow can also be translated run after, or chase, or pursue. Think about what that means. That changes this verse considerably. All of a sudden, it goes from, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life," to, "Surely God, goodness and mercy, shall pursue me all the days of my life." You see, God doesn't wait for us. Remember the story of the prodigal son. When he turned and realized his great need, and started coming back, his father didn't wait for him. His father was watching for him. And his father didn't wait for him to get to the door of the house. No, his father took off running as fast as he could go and ran to him. And you know, I believe that God does even more than that for us. I believe that as we are running from God, he is running right after us, and he is right there behind us. So that when we finally realize, I've got to stop running from God, and we turn back to him, He's right there to wrap his loving arms around us. Wonderful thought, isn't it? Let's turn now to John. This is our last text. John 14, verses 1 through 3. It says, the last part of the verse says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John 14, 1 through 3 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We may be we will be there forever with God. Isn't that wonderful? I have a song that I'd like to sing now that goes along with this. It's called Surely Goodness and Mercy. A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely his great hand will lead me to the mansions he's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I'll feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. How about you? Have you been running from God? If you've been saying, God, I think I can do it on my own, but it hasn't been working out. If you have been, please, today, right now, this moment, turn back to him. And I promise you, he will be right there to wrap his loving arms around you. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to early turn to you. Help us not to delay. Help us to stop running from you. And please forgive us for the many times that we have.
Lord, thank you for promising to protect us and to meet all of our wants and needs. And please fill us with your presence. Anoint us again with your Holy Spirit and help us to do a good job, to do the best job that we possibly can of spreading the good news of your soon coming to those who are brokenhearted and to those who need to hear of you. And thank you for being such a great and loving God. In Jesus' name.